and to be a part of our service. But we're so excited that this Sunday we will start our vacation Bible school. And I don't know if you're aware of it. Now, how many of you folks were saved through vacation Bible school? Seemed like 1/4 of the people around here got saved through vacation Bible. That's how important it is today. And I don't know if you know this or not. There are more people come to know the Lord through vacation Bible school than all the revivals put together. It's the biggest mission thrust that you will do at Moss Memorial Baptist Church. That's how important it is. So you be praying for vacation Bible school, and I hope that you come and be a part with us. And if you have a copy of God's Word, and would turn with us to Acts chapter 11 and verses 21 through 26. I want to ask a question in my message today. Can you find me a real Christian? Can you find me a real Christian? Did you know that the last census that come out over there, that 87% of the people in America adhered themselves to Christian belief? Does that mean that 87% of the people in the United States are Christians? Oh, I wish it was, but I'm afraid not. Can you find me a real Christian? I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but before we read the scripture, did you know that the word Christian is only found 3 times in the Bible? Now, we use that word all the time. You know, say, well, we're Christian, they're Christian, they're Christian. But it is only mentioned 3 times in the Bible. Now, I want you to realize today that it must not be as commonplace in the day of Jesus as we find it so commonplace today, because we use the word all the time, don't we? As a matter of fact, if you want to check me on it, I'll tell you exactly where they're at. They're in Acts chapter 11 and verse 26, and the Bible says, and the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. Then we find that it was used in Acts chapter 26 and verse 28 when Agrippa said unto Paul, thou almost persuadeth me to be a Christian. Then you'll find it over there, if you will, in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 16. It said that if any man suffer as a Christian. Now that's the only 3 times it's used in the Bible. That's the only 3 times that the word Christian is mentioned in there. So we find that it was not a common term during the writing of the Bible. But we're going to talk about real Christian today. If you will, as we look at God's Word, and there's some things that we find in real Christians that you don't find and fake Christians. You either got fake ones or real ones. You got to have one or the other. And I want you to realize today that, you know, that every time that the Lord has ever come up with something, the devil wants counterfeit it. There's a lot of counterfeits out there. But let's talk about Christianity. How many folks are glad that you're a Christian today? Hey, let's start our service. Everybody stand up, if you will, before we go with the Lord in prayer, before we read the scripture. Turn around to that person, say, I am glad I'm a Christian. All right. I'm glad that I'm a Christian today. You know, and let's just read God's Word while we're standing up here. I knew I'd get you up somehow. And chapter 4 of, if you will, in Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11, verse 4. Acts chapter 11, no, we're not going there. Acts chapter 11, let's start reading with about verse 21, and we'll put it all together. And Acts chapter 11, starting with verse 21. And the hand of the Lord was upon them, and the great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came into the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem. They sent forth Barnabas, that he should go to Antioch. Whom when he came and had seen the grace, was glad and exhorted them all that this purpose of heart, that they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Ghost and faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. And then departed Barnabas to Tarsus to seek Paul. And when they had found him, he brought him into Antioch. And it came to pass that the whole year they assembled themselves in the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for your blessed word today, Lord. And as we realize how important it is that we can call ourselves a Christian today. Father, as we take on the role of being Christ-like before the lost and dying, and we take on the role of representing you and your kingdom here on earth, Father, we just pray that you would help us, and Father, that you would convict us to go out and to live a life, Father, that might show your love, that might show the truth, that might show you and us, Father. And we just ask, Lord, that you would just go and be with us. Help us to be a Christian today. For all these things we ask in the name of Jesus, amen and amen. Beloved, you may be seated at this time. I want you to know that I'm thankful today that I can associate with fellow Christians. You get something from fellowshipping with like-minded believers. But I want you to ask you that question once again. Can you find a real Christian? Well, I want to tell you something today, beloved. You can tell a Christian by his fruits. I want you to note that today. Hey, listen, if you go down and you see a tree over here and you don't know what kind of tree is, but you look up there and there's apples on that tree, you know that's an apple tree. If you go on over here and there's acorns on that tree and you look up there, you say, well, that's an oak tree. Why is that? Because the tree is known by the fruit it bears. Hey, if you go over here and you look over there and you look up there and you find a pineapple, you look up there, it's a pine tree. No. You're known by the fruit you bear. And I want you to realize that the Bible said over there in Matthew, in the greatest sermon that was ever written, part of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 7 and verse 16 says, ye shall know them by their fruit. You shall know them by their fruit. Then he went on over there and said in verse 18, it said, a good tree cannot bear, a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. In other words, you can't counterfeit that. You are or you ain't. And then it went on to say, and also I said, a corrupt tree cannot bring forth good fruit. Aren't you glad that we're identified by the fruit we bear? Hey, listen, I'm telling you this week, if we're going to see children saved in Vacation Bible School, you're going to have to bear the fruit of the tree. They're going to have to see Jesus in you. They're going to have to see what a holy hand upon an evil heart and what it can make of there. And the result of that is an old-time Christian. Hey, listen, if there's ever been a week at Moss Moore Church, we need to be real Christians at this week. That we might bear the fruit. Why is that? Because it also speaks in the Bible that we have the fruit of salvation. Hey, we'll be known by the fruit we'll bear. You know something else, if you want to find a real Christian, I'm not talking about one of these phony baloney Christians. I'm not talking about these one day a week Christians. You want to find a real Christian, watch what he feeds on. Amen. Watch what he feeds on. I don't know about you. I was telling Brother Tom Buckner, I growed me a garden this year, a little old bitty, and the deers just love it. I don't know if I'm going to get anything, but the deer, absolutely. I didn't know that deer would eat cucumbers, did you? They will. I didn't know they'd eat squash. Do you know they will? They've ate my tomatoes. That's right. Payback come this fall. You just wait and see. You can tell a real Christian by what he feeds on. You know Matthew chapter 4? In verse 4, he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but he'll live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Amen. Hey, listen. What he feeds on, by the milk of the word, by the meat of the word. In other words, you know, if you find a real Christian over there, you can tell by where he eats at and what he feeds upon. You know, it's so easy to feed upon the things of this world, amen? You know, if you look in the Bible over there and you look at these false religions in the Old Testament, you know what most of their diet consumed of? Herbs. Now, could you live on salt and pepper and oregano and garlic and all that? No, you can't live on that kind of stuff. Those things were put out there to enhance real food. Hey, listen, that's the real meat of the word right there. That's real food right there. Hey, you can tell a Christian, you know what a Christian do? He'll love the Word of God. Bible says he'll eat the Word of God. Hey, listen, real Christians, you don't have no problem with them reading and studying and praying. Why is that? Because it's pleasurable to them. They enjoy it. And you can tell a real Christian by what he feeds on. You know, he don't feed on, he don't go here in the garbage can of the world. You know, there's a lot of things to feed on in this world, ain't there? You high-tech folks in here today, I'm a low-tech man in a high-tech world. I don't even own a cell phone. If I owned one, I wouldn't know what to do with it. I know one time Denise sent me her cell phone because I had to go to Columbia, South Carolina, afraid that I wouldn't, I'd need that. But honey, I trucked for 25 years, didn't know what a cell phone was. I made it. But she's got a Catholic cell phone. She said, now when that thing rings, you hold it up like this and you do this. If that ain't Catholic, I don't know what is. So anyway, there's a lot of things in this world to distract you. We just had that in our Sunday school this morning. There's a lot of things in this world over there that wants to take your attention away. And after a while, if you're not careful, you'll start feeding on the wrong things. It's so easy, my friend, to replace the Word of God with a smartphone. Or it's so easy to replace the Word of God with some other device. If there's anything, this evolution, our kids are going to grow up 10 years from now, their thumbs are going to be that big around. If there's anything to evolution. Why is that? If there's anything to evolution, you wait 10 years from now and see their thumbs will be as big as you like. I'm going to say that to say this. If you're a real Christian, you'll feed upon the Word of God. If you're a real Christian, you won't go to the garbage cans of the world and look for the handouts and scavenge throughout over there, because I say there's nothing that will replace the Word of God. And a real Christian will feed upon the Word of God, because man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Beloved, you can tell, you can find a real Christian not only by the fruits, by what he feeds on, But you can also tell by what he fellowships with. Amen. You can also tell by what he fellowships with. Now, I don't know about you, but I was always brought up that if I slept with the dogs, I'd get the fleas too. Was y'all brought up that way? Or we could be like the prodigal son, find over there, he had to make companions with the pigs. I don't know. But we find over there that the Bible told us very plain, and Paul wrote it in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 4. It said, what communion hath light with darkness? What communion hath light with darkness? And then it said righteousness with unrighteousness. Then what part hath a believer with an infidel? What I'm getting ready to tell you is probably not politically correct. But I think there's something wrong when people want to preach behind the pulpit and worry about political correctness. Did you know that the Word of God tells me that to be a Christian is called unto a state of separation? Amen. Hey, we're just in this world. We're not of this world. Hey, we're pilgrims. We're just passing through. This is not our permanent residence. As a matter of fact, the Bible says our citizenship is in heaven. So what communion hath light with darkness? The problem in 2019, it's not that the world is becoming like the church, but that the church is becoming as the world. Are you with me on that? Hey, listen. There was a defined line drawn in Genesis for the separation of man. There was a defined line over there drawn in Luke chapter 16, that he said that there was a great gulf fixed between heaven and hell, and there is a great separation that takes place here on earth over there. And you will know a Christian by what he fellowships with. Because light cannot dwell with darkness. Hey, listen. You go out here, you can have we can come in here tonight, and it will be pitch dark in here, and you flip that switch on, the minute those lights come on, the darkness is gone. Why is that? It's because there is no relationship between light and dark. I'm glad today that we're children of light. I'm glad today that the Bible says we're to be the light of the world, that let your little light shine so that others may see your good works. Hey, listen, I'm glad today that we'll know Christians by the fruit they bear. I'm glad today that we'll know him by what he feeds on. I'm glad today that we'll know him by the fellowship in which he keeps. Eddie deals with it on a regular basis. I deal with it on a somewhat regular basis. Many of y'all will. The best advice I can tell you today, hey, listen, if you're a newborn Christian, And I know some of us have had a rough life, and I know some of us have had a bad past, but I want to tell you something today, and I'm going to tell you because I love you, and I'm going to tell these young folks today because I love them. Hey, listen, if you're at school over there, and sometimes in order to live a Christian life, you might have to hunt you another set of friends. You might have to hunt you somebody else to hang with. You might have to go over there and shut the door on relationships over there. Why is that? It's because light cannot dwell with darkness, and you'll be known by the company you keep. Boy, they used to get after Jesus. You know, he's always judged by the company he keep. You know, he'd go out to them over there, but hey, listen. He didn't go over there and act like them. He didn't go over there. He went over there because he loved them. And I'm telling you today, we love them too today, but you cannot have fellowship with the world. See, there's a difference. There's a difference in trying to win the world and imitating the world. Last week, as a young fella, used to come on TV over there, and you know me, I'm pretty opinionated. Hey, listen, he come on over there. I don't hardly watch him no more. And of all things, of course, now I'll tell you, I believe a man of God ought to wear a suit behind the pulpit. Now, I don't care. You say, well, it don't make no difference. Hey, listen, I'm gonna wear the best I got before the Holy Throne today. But, you know, this man had a great old big tree. And you know he come out wearing a pair of Nike tennis shoes? Now, I don't know if you know much about Nike. And I'm not going to tell you about that. But a man of God comes out and wears a pair of Nike tennis shoes back there to preach the gospel. Hey, listen, if that's all I had was a pair of Nike tennis shoes, I'd be the barefoot preacher. Amen? Are you with me? You'll be known by what you fellowship with. You'll be known by who you hang with. Not only by the fruits we bear, not only what we feed upon, not only what we fellowship with. Matthew chapter 10, verse 39 said this. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. You'll be known for what you forsook. Amen? Do you know you had to give away something to get something? Amen? When you got saved? Huh? You had to give up something to get something, did you not? Hey, listen. You know an altar oftentimes is no more than a deposit. Amen? You know you come to and you leave stuff. You know what's so good over there? What you leave up here is nothing compared to what you can take with you. And you'll know a Christian. Why is that? Because he gave away some stuff. He's forsaken some stuff. Hey, I remember when I got saved. And you know, I've been preaching the gospel for 40 years. And I still ain't figured out everything that God done the day he saved me. There's something still that I ain't figured it out yet. But I remember what I gave up. And I really know what I got. When I got saved, I was borderline alcoholic. You know when I got saved? The taste left me. It didn't taste the same no more. I remember that I could cuss with a sailor. Them words don't come back so easy anymore. I remember how that some things came easy and some things hard, but I know that God had intervened and that I'd forsaken something over there that God might come into my life. And I'll tell you, you'll know a Christian by what he's forsaken. And I'm going to tell you this today, if there wasn't no change, there wasn't no salvation. Amen. You had to give up something for Jesus. Amen. And it'll change a man. Hey, did you live a perfect life? No, I didn't then. And I'm here to tell you now, I still ain't today. Amen. I do the best I can with fear and trembling. I falter and fail every day, but I know that people that knew me before can tell that something happened in my life. Why is that? Because I gave up some stuff that I might get some stuff. Hey, listen. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. I often wonder sometimes, you know, I'll get to a service and I'll say, anybody got a testimony? Well, that's what I'm asking for. I want your story. I want a story about how you forsake something in life that you might gain Jesus. Why do I want to hear that story? Because it's unique to you and it's unique to your situation. And it might be the exact same. I fell off of here before. That this person over here needs. What you forsaken in life. Not only by what's forsaken, by the way he forgives. Matthew says this, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." If you will forgive men of their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Verse 15. But if you forgive not men's trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you. You'll know a real Christian by the way he forgives others. You will. You will know a real Christian by the way he forgives others. Now, I'm going to tell you, I've had a problem with forgiving sometimes. How about you? I've had a problem sometimes in putting old self on the back burner. Putting Jesus up front and going ahead and forgiving somebody. Bible says a real Christian, you'll know them by the way they forgive. I got news for you. You ain't the only one that mess up. I got news for you. You ain't the only one that raised crazy kids. You ain't the only one over there that kids do stupid stuff. I'll quote the great Forrest Gump, "Stupid is as stupid does." No, a real Christian will have forgiveness. Because we forgive because we've been forgiven. Now, there's some people in this world that'll do things to you that you cannot forgive them of. I don't care how hard you try. I don't care how deep it might be. But that's where Jesus comes in. There's some things over there that you have to have intervention of himself in your heart to find forgiveness. It's a cruel world we live in. Can I get a witness on that? It's a mean place. And I hate to tell you, some of the meanest people I've ever seen I found in church. But a real Christian will have forgiveness. You also, not only will you know a real Christian by his fruits, by what he feeds on, by what he fellowships, by what he forsakes, and by what he forgives, you'll also know a Christian by what he fears or what he's afraid of. Listen, you say, "Well, I ain't afraid of nothing." Oh, I've heard that before. Smartest man to ever live, King Solomon over there, summed it up in just a few words. He said the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Fear him that is able to destroy both the body and the soul in hell. See, I have an eternal judge in Christ Jesus. How many of you folks know that you 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 know? Hey, listen, that is the greatest gift that God has ever gave mankind. Why? Because that's the peace that passes all understanding. That's the thing that when that death angel goes crawling around in there and, hey, listen, they send the host down to get you, you can step out in glory because you know what's on the other side. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Fear him that is able to destroy both the body and the soul in hell. Hey, listen. We're afraid of the wrong things, are we not? Are we not afraid of the wrong things? Hey, listen, I don't know about you. Listen. I'll go and open up my mailbox, and it's got a letter from the IRS. I'll weld that thing shut to where that I can never open it again. Then you get that letter from the IRS, and it's a refund check. Amen. You always thought the bad worst, didn't you? We fear these things that man has accommodated on there. And I want to tell you that the devil... And I'm gonna make this statement right here, that the devil will use fear for one purpose and one purpose only. Because the antidote of fear is what? Faith. He'll use up your faith by creating your mind. This over, you know, you go to the doctor over there, and hey, you got a lump, automatically you got cancer, you're dying, you won't be here for 2 weeks. You go, ain't nothing to that. Go on. 90% of what we worry about never comes to fruition. We always think in worst case scenarios. Why is that? It's because as a human being, we have a spirit of fear. We do. We have a spirit of fear. But I'm here to tell you that we worry and we're fearful about the wrong things. You know, the things of God, that's the only eternal connection that mankind has to heaven, and that's the Lord. Did you know that you will have eternal life today? It's just a matter of fact over there as to where you'll spend eternal life. I would worry about that over everything else that I could possibly dream of. You know, we ain't going to be here just for a little while. We're getting ready to check out of here. Hey, listen, somebody else is going to live in that house you live in. Somebody else is going to drive that car. Well, probably not mine. But if you've got a good enough car, hey, listen, a real Christian will be known by what he's afraid of. I'm glad today that I ain't afraid of much. Why is that? It's because I took care of the big thing. I don't have to worry about that no more. Somebody asked me the other day, said, you got your funeral arrangements done? I went down there, and yes, we got them. They're paid for. But that's just the earthly thing. I got the eternal thing took care of too. I'm ready. Now, if my presence was as good as my future, I'd be a lot better off here. Amen. I got that future took care of. I ain't worried about that. But you'll be known as a Christian by what you fear. By what you fear. Last thing. You know, you can tell a lot by the way a person lives by the way they die. We'll say that again. You can tell a lot by a person by the way they live, by the way they die. A real Christian will be known for how he finishes the race. You know, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, the old Apostle Paul, and this was his last will and testament, 2 Timothy, said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. There's a big word right there, my course. I have kept the faith. And I'm glad that he included verse 8 because it makes it real personal to me. He said, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all them that love his appearing. Listen, you can tell a real Christian in 2019 because his focus is upon the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, I hate to tell you this today because you might need to come this altar, but I love you enough to share this with you. If you ain't looking for him, you ain't going. If you're not looking for the Lord Jesus Christ, then I tell you, you need to come down here to this altar because that's how you'll finish well. That's how that you'll come, because I'm looking for the Lord to come back just any moment, at any time. You know I like over there, and I've run out of time, beloved. I like over there in Acts chapter 7 when they said that old Stephen was being stoned to death. They said, and that's in verse Acts 7, I don't forget the verse, but I remember these words, said Stephen's face did shine like an angel. When they were stoning him to death, and he was just moments before his crossing, the writer of the book of Acts looked and said that his face shone as if it was the face of an angel. I've been with a lot of old saints at the crossing. You say that was hard. No, it was beautiful. You say that was tough. No, it was wonderful. Say that was hard. No, because it softens a blow for me. How are we going to finish? How are we going to finish? You know, it won't much matter how you start something. It's how you finish. You know, I like to tell folks like that. I'll have a little project going on, and my little projects always develop into big projects, and I rarely ever get one of them finished. And they said, well, what do you like? I said, just finishing. That's all I like, just finishing. When the world looks at you today, do they see a real Christian? I hope so. Listen, if we're to witness for the Lord, we got to be real about who we are. See, a lot of folks, that's one reason that they like to go to great old big churches. You know, if you're going to church where it's 3,000 or 4,000 people, you can kind of slip in, slip out, slip in, slip out. And kind of go unnoticed. Listen, the Lord knows your heart today. Let's get real. Let's do a song of invitation, every how y'all choose to do this. Can you find me a real Christian? I hope today. You know, real Christians stand up, say a word for the Lord. You say, well, I'm not where I need to be. Well, I can tell you one thing. There's an altar up here that fixes things. There's an altar up here that changes hearts. There's an altar up here that takes what you offered and makes out of it his blessed will. Can you find me a real Christian today? Please stand if you're able. 203. Y'all come on. If you have a need today, y'all come right on. God's spoken to your heart. Don't you quit that spirit. You come on. You come on. victory.